Hello, welcome to a very special episode of the Creative Differences Podcast. I'm Cassie, and I've decided that this episode is going to be called The Final Girls because it kind of feels like we're the final girls in a horror movie.
Oh, I love that for us. And I'm Demi. Are you guys ready to just hear me monologue for an episode? Because it's just the two of us. Sorry about that. Can't be helped. Welcome to another episode of the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Fancast Fridays, Throwback Thursdays, and a number of other pop culture-related items, but you guys should also stay for the thirst. Today, I will be reviewing The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes, and before we get started, please remember to like, share, subscribe, you know, tell people about us, because surgeries are expensive and insurance companies hate trans people. All right.
Unfortunate.
It really is. It is, but you just kind of got to live with it. All right.
Anyway, completely different topic. It's not even where to jump into this. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, directed and written by Guy Ritchie, also written by Paul Thomasy, Eric Johnson, and Arash Amel, and it stars Henry Cavill, Asa Gonzalez, Alan Richson, Alex Pettifer, Hero Fine, Tiffin, Babs Alusan-Mokan, Henry Golding, and Carrie Elwes. And the IMDb summary is, the British military recruits a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II. It's based on a book that is based on a true story.
Okay.
About apparently like the first special ops mission or something that was done under, like the first ever special ops mission or something like that of its kind, done under Churchill.
Okay. Also, did you know, I learned this literally like an hour ago because I was watching the menu. Did you know that the Fiennes family is related to royalty? Like descended from royalty?
Wait, no, I think I might have known that. Like a
their last name is actually like four last names, but it gets abbreviated because ain't nobody got time for that. So to me.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I really enjoyed this movie. I had a great time. This might be one of my favorite Guy Ritchie movies. I'm trying to figure out if it's going to take, because I think The Gentleman might be my favorite Guy Ritchie movie. I have not seen the classic that made him famous. For the record, I know, blasphemy, it is on my watch list. I just haven't seen it yet. But as of right now, this is definitely fighting for first place as my favorite Guy Ritchie movie. It's a lot of fun. I think it's an interesting way to do what is technically a biopic, I guess.
Well, that's an interesting thing, because you said the book was based on a true story.
Well, the book is, I think the book is actually it's also based off of the papers that were, what's that word that I'm looking for? Not deregulated.
Declassified
in 2016. So this is like a true thing that actually happened. And there's a book about those events. So it is kind of a biopic. And I think that this is just such an interesting way of doing it, because when you think of war, you know, like true story war movies, they're all very dramatic and sad and like, oh my gosh, like dreary. Mm-hmm. And this is not that at all. It's very fun and pretty funny. I love this cast. They're so charismatic. And sorry, I got distracted by a text message. They're so charismatic. Like this is one of the most charismatic casts I've seen in a while. Just everyone is so good, so amazing. And there are like a number of people in this movie who I feel like get to shine in ways that they've never gotten to do on screen before. I love when Henry Cavill works with Guy Ritchie. He always gets to be the most charming person in the room, probably. Like, he's so much fun. In this movie, he's unhinged and just chaotic, and it's so much fun. He's playing March Phillips, who is the man who is rumored to have inspired the character of James Bond.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
In fact, Ian Fleming is a character in this movie. Ian Fleming is the man who created James Bond and wrote those books.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. He's played by Freddie Fox. But yeah, Henry Cavill, he's great in this movie. I love when Henry Cavill gets to just be charming and have fun. He's clearly having so much fun. Our boy Alan Richson is... I've never seen Alan Richson do anything like this before. Like, he's big, tough guy, as we've come to expect. But he's also really adorable, and he's Swedish, and just, like, so funny as well. I feel like whenever we see him do the big action dude, he's always very, very serious. And in this movie, he doesn't have to be that. He's very, very, very fun. Also gay? Question mark?
Interesting. Love that.
It's wonderful. Fantastic. Like I said, like everybody's so charismatic in this movie. And I didn't know that he had what he does in this movie. I didn't know that he had that that level. Like, I didn't know that that was like a thing that he could do, and that was very nice to see. Asa Gonzalez, I think more than anybody else, really gets to show her range as an actress, like how good of a leading lady she has the potential to be and can be. She really is the leading lady of this movie. And I mean, I've been watching her for a while now, since 2017 at the very least, when she did Baby Driver. When, I mean, she's great in Baby Driver, but she's a supporting character. But I've also watched From Dusk Till Dawn, which is the TV series that she was on, so I've seen the range and like what she can do, which she has only ever been allowed to do on television shows, including The Three Body Problem, which just came out recently. But this movie, I'm like, yes, she's, this is the leading lady I've been waiting for her to finally get to be. Like, she's so good in this movie. This movie allows her to like gives her such a good storyline, probably the more intriguing personal storyline of the movie, as she tries to seduce a Nazi.
Oh, yikes.
She has to. She's trying to seduce a Nazi, but she's a Jewish woman.
Oh, no.
That's her part of the spy mission, is that she has to like keep this Nazi occupied and distracted.
Ooh.
It's very cool. She gets to sing. And I love that, because Asa used to have a music career in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
She was a Mexican pop star, and I'm just so happy that she got the chance to like actually, I've been waiting for a movie to finally like let her do it, like let her sing, and she does a full number, and I hope it's available on streaming services at some point, because it's great. But yeah, she just does a fantastic job. Her outfits are amazing. Like, her whole performance is wonderful, and she has a British accent throughout the entirety of the movie.
Okay.
So I was like, I've never seen you do this before. I'm very glad that she is now like on Guy Ritchie's roster of actors he apparently likes working with, because I think she's in his next two movies that he's doing.
Oh, damn.
Or at the very least, the next one that he's doing. Okay. So that's very cool. Very excited about that. Yeah. And Guy Ritchie was like, yo, come back. Come play with us again. So that's cool for me as a fan of Guy Ritchie. The action sequences are dope. So much fun. Like, it's Guy Ritchie's style. If you like Guy Ritchie movies, you're probably gonna really like this movie. But yeah, it's like some of the most fun that I've had all year at the movie theater. It's so much fun, and it's so entertaining and so enjoyable. If you like action movies, if you like Guy Ritchie movies, the sound design is also really good. That was something that me and Jesse noticed. There's a scene I absolutely adore the sound in. Ace's character is talking to the Nazi that she's supposed to seduce. Most of the sound drops out, except for like the lighters that they're using. And like,
that's cool.
I just, the lighters that they're using and their dialogue, as if like it's just them in this like, in this space, like it's just them in the middle of this bar, and it's so good. It's such a good scene, and it's such a good, man, the sound design throughout the entire movie, incredible, fantastic, so good. Yeah, it's a really well-made movie. It's a lot of fun. I would highly recommend it if you are into this type of stuff. The action is fun, the characters are charismatic as hell, the cast is charismatic as hell, and some of them are getting to prove that they are such good performers in ways that we never would have anticipated, that not even in ways that we don't anticipate, but in ways that they've never gotten to show off before. And I really appreciate that, or at least never gotten to show off before on the big screen at the very least. And I love when that happens, especially me being such a huge Asa Gonzalez fan, like come on, and a huge Alan Ritchson fan. Like, I've been watching him for years now, and you know, I always talk about how great Henry Cavill is, in my opinion. I think he's awesome. So, yeah, that is the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Quick question.
Yeah.
How was the tongue moment in the theater?
Oh, it only happens once. They cut out the rest of them.
There's more?
I think in the trailer there's like three, but in the movie there's like one.
Ah, boo.
I guess they got to the edit and they were like, you know what? This is happening a little too often in such a short span of time.
That's fair.
But it's good in the theater. Gabby would have been the person to ask this to if she had seen the movie. I don't think she's seen it yet. We'll have to wait until she does so that we can ask her on mic. Oh, did you do a 10-minute take? Did you watch anything for your 10 minutes?
I did, actually, yeah.
What did you watch? What is your 10-minute take?
All right. So this 10-minute take, it's fun because you've watched it too, is My Adventures with Superman.
Oh, I love that. Dallas, speaking of there. Superman.
Yeah, hey, look at that.
Funny enough.
Rip.
Rip.
So yeah, I watched the first 10 minutes of My Adventures with Superman.
Which might as well be half an episode.
It is half an episode, yes. I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of Superman media, but like, I don't know that I've seen a scene of him discovering his powers for the first time. It's possible I have.
It happens. Man of Steel has a scene of him. I think Man of Steel has a scene.
I think it probably does.
Yeah, Smallville is basically all about him discovering his powers, but you've never watched Smallville, so I'm not gonna put that on you. Yeah, some of the media does.
Like, it starts with him discovering his powers, and it's awesome, and he's just like super happy to have super strength and be able to fly because, oh my god, I have super strength and I'm able to fly. What kid wouldn't be like, oh, this is awesome?
Also, I have superpowers. Come on, man.
He has the fucking S symbol on his shirt, like that one that everybody drew in middle school. I'm pretty sure it's that one on his shirt. And it's so upsetting, and I love it so much. But then it transitions into adulthood. He and Jimmy are trying, or no, they have jobs. It's the first day of work at the Daily Planet.
Yeah, so they're interns, right?
Yes, they're interns. They're starting as interns. So Clark goes to a donut shop where he meets Lois and is like, oh my god, she's so cute. And he doesn't say that, but you know.
You know.
They have an awkward meet cute where this lady's like, oh my god, Clark, you're the best. And also, here's 3 dozen donuts and a bib to eat them with because you're messy. He's like, oh my god, Lois, now you've seen me in a bib. This is so embarrassing. And then they go to the Daily Planet. Well, first he's with Jimmy and they're talking about, Jimmy's like, oh my god, I got my camera. I'm going to capture everything. Also, there are aliens among us. And Clark's like, let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
And then Lois is talking to, is his name Perry?
Yeah, Perry White.
Yeah.
Their boss.
And she's like, there are robots in this factory that like got let out and they're going to terrorize the city. And he's like, nah, Lois, you whack. Be an intern. Teach these people how to fetch coffee and do other shit. Like, stop chasing after stories or you're going to get fired. She's like, nah. Well, she doesn't say that. But he says, like, go teach these interns. And then they leave the room and she's like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to go chase down this story because Perry said we could, even though no, he didn't. So they go out and they go find her source, which is just a group of children who deliver newspapers and also somehow have the information of like these people with garbage trucks that are like transporting secret shit, which is true. And we do see those people very briefly, but something has gone wrong with their operation and they're freaking out about it. But whatever, who cares? Lois, Clark, and Jimmy talk to the kids and the kids are like, okay, go here. And they're like, Clark's like, I don't know how I feel about this because it could get super dangerous for you and Jimmy. Cough, cough, and me. Cough, cough. I forgot about that. And then they probably head off there, and that's where the 10 minutes ends. I liked it. It was fun. This was a, you know, not to be one of those people who says things that a lot of people say, but like, for all that I can respect what Snyder does, this feels like a version of Superman I would much more enjoy.
This is the version of Superman that should always be Superman. Like, this is Superman.
Yeah, like, his first scene, he saves a cat, or not his first scene, but his first adult scene, he saves a cat, and then he, you know, he goes into a store, and they love him because he fixed their back door. Like, it's, yeah.
He's just nice. He's a good boy. He's the best boy. He's a golden retriever man. Like,
yeah, and it's lovely.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I think you would like the rest of the show. The show is very, like, anime, obviously, but also, like, with your sense of hope punk, I think that you would appreciate this show. Also, this show plays with the evil Superman concept in a way that I very much enjoy.
Okay.
Because we've seen it so much recently, and I like the way that this show decides to handle it.
Right.
I also really love the way that this show handles Clark and Lois and Superman, like their entire relationship and how she finds out that he's Superman and all sorts of stuff like that. I really, really enjoy it. And I think it's also a good adaptation of Jimmy for the modern world, like this kind of like conspiracy theorist vlogger about aliens. It's really good. There are some really good modernizations that are made to the show. And also, I mean, that Clark and Lois height difference is killer. Like, boy. The trope. The trope is troping.
Yep.
And
I like it.
I like it a lot. I can't wait to see David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan be Clark and Lois because he's 6'4 and she's 5'3. It's about to be the same thing.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
The trope will be troping again.
I love it.
I'm super excited. But yeah, I love that show. I can't wait for season 2 to come out. I think that you would really enjoy this rendition of Superman. Like, I mean, this is, like I said, this is what Superman should be. Mm-hmm. But the way, like, with your love of animation and you thinking that it's a better medium.
Yeah.
It works very well for this show.
Nice.
Works in its favor. What you been watching? I don't have a what you been watching. Well, what you been doing? I went fusion dancing for the first time last night. I was telling Cassie about this before the episode started.
For the reference, this is going to be a bit niche, but fusion dancing does not refer to fusing with another person to, like, go Super Saiyan, because that's what I thought of when you first said it.
I You know what? I'm not well versed enough in Dragon Ball to even know that that's a reference.
Oh, I'm not either. I just know that it's called the fusion dance. So when you said that, I was like, okay.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, no, I don't have much to say about it. I had a great time. It was something that I had never done before. It was a very interesting and new experience for me in a good way. Like, it was very different, but in a good way, as I told my friend who invited me to go do this. But yeah, the community was very nice and very inviting and welcoming and warm. And yeah, I had a great time. I will probably do it again. I would love to learn to do it more. I get, like, better. Like I'm a beginner at this and I'm still learning how to not be self-conscious about people like seeing me dance or whatever.
Sure.
Especially with a partner. I've never partner danced before, but it was very interesting. It's very improv and it's very forgiving of like making mistakes and stuff like that. It's very much just feeling the music and like doing what feels right in the moment while following your lead. And I liked it. It was very cool. Very interesting. And I, not even just like doing the actual dancing part, like that was also very enjoyable. But I also really like just watching other people dance and just like observing them. And like, it's so interesting because it's so improvisational. Like, they'll play a song, but everybody has a different interpretation of that song. So everybody's dancing to it in a different way. So it's so fascinating to even just watch. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, just watching it is just such a cool experience, because it's then you're like looking at each couple like, okay, well, how are you interpreting the melody of this song, or like the beat of this song, or the emotion of it? Like, how are you doing that? And it's very interesting. It's very cool. So it's called Fusion Dancing. Shout out to Amber and Julia, who are friends of mine who introduced me to this style of dance. It's very cool. It's very interesting.
Okay, so what you need to do is get really good at it, and that'll take time. But then you and them and maybe other people who are there who like come regularly, you lead the charge for a revival of America's Best Dance Crew.
Oh my God, that's a totally different style of dance, but sure, we'll see what happens.
Doesn't have to be.
Oh man. All right. That takes us to trailer tracking. There is one trailer on our list today. We will be talking about Transformers 1. What do you think of that trailer? Did you watch it? I'm assuming you watched
it. Yeah.
I meant to watch it right before we started recording and I forgot, but I have seen the trailer, so.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like one time. It's an interesting, I don't know if there has been like an origin story of Megatron and Optimus Prime done in film before.
According to Jesse, no. He has spent his entire life waiting on a like prequel Transformers.
Okay.
Anything.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because you're getting that origin story, but it looks lighter than I would think an origin story would be, especially when you consider that at some point, kind of like a Charles and Eric, you know, you're going to end up in that position, right? Where they're like diametrically opposed. And so it's really interesting to see like what looks like a lighter tone, and it was very comedic. And I'm wondering if it will get to that point where they have their split, and how it's going to like, that's just probably going to hurt because you know, like, you know it's coming, but obviously, but if it starts off with like, oh God, I'm falling down a hill, I need wheels. And then you go to like, I hate you, I guess we're enemies now. That's interesting.
I wonder if this is like, maybe this is the beginning of like a series that they want to do. Maybe it leads, like the series leads up to the Autobot Decepticon war. Or well, actually, it sounds like they're already in the middle of a war, but maybe the series will lead up to the point where,
Is this a series or a movie?
It's a movie. It's a movie, but I'm saying if it's a series of movies, maybe the series of movies will, you know, lead up to the point where they become Optimus Prime and Megatron, and they do become diametrically opposed in the way that we know. And then we also get to see like that war that, or the battle or whatever that led to them needing to go to Earth in the first place. I think that would make a very interesting animated movie series.
Yeah.
From watching just this trailer, I really like the animation. It's very interesting. They were saying it's a new style of animation that people haven't seen before. And like, it looks like 3D animation that we're kind of used to, but it also looks like a video game, which I found fascinating. Cause most movies, like even 3D animation, don't look like video games, but this looks like you could just pick up like a PlayStation controller or something and you would like be playing the characters. And that's kind of cool.
Yo, if this brings back like movie tie-in games, I'm with it.
So much fun. We're supposed to be getting those for the DC Universe now that James Gunn is in charge.
No, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, he said that there are going to be some video games that are movie tied in.
Sweet.
But also, I really like this cast, obviously. Like, it's got Chris Hemsworth, it's got Brian Tyree Henry, who we all love on this channel. Mm-hmm. It's got Scarlett Johansson, who I personally love. It's got Keegan-Michael Key. Again, we all love him as well. Like, it's a really stacked cast who are playing these very iconic characters. And I'm very excited to see what hijinks these four characters get up to. I'm also very excited to hear Scarlett Johansson do another animated movie for kids. Mm-hmm. I want to...
Has she done that since Jungle Book?
There you go, Jungle Book. I was thinking more like SpongeBob SquarePants, the movie. But I was like, that can't be the last one that she did. She had to have done something recently where she did a voice for a children's movie. That's the one. And like you said, it's a little bit more comedic. So I'm hoping that she'll also get to like use her comedic chops, because Scarlett Johansson is actually very funny. She's extremely funny, actually. Like, Rough Night is hilarious. Most of her work on Saturday Night Live is hilarious. I'm excited about that. But yeah. Also, like I said, Hemsworth and Brian Tyree Henry playing Optimus Prime and Megatron, respectively, before, you know, when they were friends. I'm very excited. And I'm
that's cool.
I'm interested to see how Megatron makes his turn, because he's very not that in the trailer.
Yeah.
He is very not that. But I did like the little addition of the line, like, show them that we're more than meets the eye or something like that. I was like, oh, they got the line in there. It's cute. But yeah, that's Transformers 1. That's the only trailer we have on this list. All right, first piece of news that we've got on here, though. Keanu Reeves will be voicing Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog 3. I have not seen any of these movies, so I have no comments. Cassie?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the two movies. I like them a lot. This news, I don't really see it. I mean, Keanu Reeves to me, and, you know, I haven't seen, like, all the John Wick movies. I haven't seen a ton of his more recent work, but he, to me, is very good at playing a sort of understated performance, and that is not what Shadow is. Shadow is, I mean, he's an edgelord. Like, we all make fun of Shadow because, like, he's Sonic with a gun. Like, come on. He talks about his darkness every 5 seconds. It's hilarious, but it feels like it asks for a little more than I've seen Keanu tend to give. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'm surprised that he's the choice, because I would picture him as more, a little more relaxed of a character and not edgelord incarnate. But I mean, I'm going to watch the movie. I'm down. Give that man a gun.
Yeah. We've been giving Keanu Reeves guns since the 90s.
Yeah, but now he's a hedgehog with a gun.
Yeah, I don't know. I know nothing. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Tails is my favorite. Tails gets all my attention.
Why have you not watched these movies? He hangs out in the second one.
I just haven't. I don't know what it is. I just haven't. I need to get around to it. I just... haven't gotten to it yet. I've been meaning to, because
when the third one comes out, you can.
Yeah, once I found out that Tails was in them, I was like, I gotta watch it for my boy Tails. I love Tails. Tails has always been my favorite. It's just a cutie pie. Keanu playing Shadow. The only thing I knew about this was that, like, I know that Hayden Christensen was rumored to be playing Shadow for a while.
That would be so down.
And that could have been very interesting. But yeah, I love Keanu Reeves. I mean, he's Keanu Reeves. He's you know, The Matrix, John Wick. He's also pretty fun in Always Be My Maybe. So, I don't know, but I don't know a lot about Shadow, and I don't know too much about the Sonic the Hedgehog world, despite being, like, super into the animated shows as a kid and into the video games in middle school. But yeah, should be interesting.
Yeah.
The next announcement is another announcement for you, because I ain't seen this show.
For me.
It is for you. Fallout has been confirmed for season 2. You have said in our group chat that you like this show already, like, a lot.
Oh, I love it. I just actually finished it last night with a friend, because we were watching it together. It's so good. Like, it is better than I expected it to be. Because when the trailer came out for it, I was like, okay, this looks cool, but it doesn't look as silly as Fallout often is. The show is as silly as Fallout often is, so they fucking nailed that. But it's more than that. I mean, there's so many, like, I don't really care that much about, like, Easter eggs, but when you can have them in a way that works for the story you're telling anyway, and also, you know, is an Easter egg, like, if you know it, or not even an Easter egg, but just, like, lifted wholesale from the game, like the hacking mechanic on terminals. I did not expect that to make an appearance, and it does. And it's like, oh, okay, you even got that. Like, this is one of those adaptations that I feel like a lot of adaptations are, you know, people say, oh, we're big fans of the thing, and we want to adapt it well, and then sometimes that doesn't really pan out. This feels like one of those occasions where they are actually big fans of the thing, and you can tell in how they made it and how much it reflects the game. I'm just so excited to see where it goes from here, because it absolutely left on, I don't want to say a cliffhanger, but, like, you know, shit's going to go down. So it would suck if we didn't get to see where it was going to go. And they've also said, like, they're going to add other stuff from the games that people were expecting, like Deathclaws or a particular enemy that are extremely well known to Fallout fans. And we didn't see any in the first season because they said, yeah, we're saving that for, like, season two. Now we're going to see it. And that's awesome.
I know nothing about Fallout, so I have no idea what's going on here. But congratulations to all you Fallout fans out there. I love it. I love to see other people, other fandoms, like, you know.
I mean, I think you would like the show, even if you don't know Fallout. Like, I don't know the history and the world that well. Like, my friend was sort of telling me about the stuff that she knew more than I did. But I know little aspects of the games well enough to know, like, oh, they really captured that, you know?
Is it like a grunge apocalyptic thing, or I don't...
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it takes place after nuclear devastation. Not even going to say nuclear war, because I don't think it was a war.
It is called Fallout.
And typically you play somebody who has been in a vault, which is basically a really elaborate bomb shelter, and goes out into the world. And so the main character of this show is exactly that. She's a vault dweller who leaves the vault for the first time and sees
the world.
She's
the character that you create.
Yeah. And Ella Purnell is amazing. I mean, she's been amazing in Yellow Jackets and she's amazing here. And it's just, it's such a fun show. And it is just, as I said, it was better than I expected it to be. Was really compelling. I would highly recommend it. It is also a very niche reference, but this is going to give Brendan Lee Mulligan a run for his money as capitalism is the villain, because they specifically say, yeah, capitalism is the villain. Like, I think there's a line about, like, oh, that's how you win at capitalism. And it's like, perfect.
Well, if you were to ever make a reference on this show to Brendan Lee Mulligan and only one of us podcasters had to be here with you, good thing it was me. Because I know who Brendan Lee Mulligan is, and I've seen that man DM. Yeah. That's a good one. All right, then. That takes us to another streamer show, which is confirmed for another season. The Witcher is set to end with season 5.
That's right. I'm surprised. I don't know how many books the man's got, but I feel like he's
going. There are 7, and they will be finishing off all the rest of them within these next 2 seasons. There's only 3 books left for them to adapt, and they're going to do it in these next 2 seasons.
Okay.
They've been kind of mixing and matching as the seasons have gone along. So, like, sometimes they'll do, like, 2 books in a season. Sometimes they'll do, like, 1 and a little bit of another book in a season. So I think they did, like, 2 books last season or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But there are 3 books left, and we have 2 more seasons. I'm assuming they're filming season 4 an hour. They're about to get started because they gave video from the table read, Liam Hemsworth's first table read as Geralt of Rivia, which this is the first time they've given us spontaneous behind the scenes footage. Usually it's all like in like a documentary or in a podcast. They've never just given us like, here's a random video of behind the scenes footage, which I saw some people point out. It is a very interesting detail to note. I love The Witcher. I don't care what any of y'all out there say. And I will be watching it even with Liam Hemsworth because I just really like these characters. Especially, I'm sorry, Geralt's not even my favorite character on this show. It's Yennefer of Vengerberg. So as long as Anya Chalotra is still here with this character and we're still learning about what her journey is, I'm going to be here. And as long as she has chemistry with Liam Hemsworth as Geralt of Rivia, as long as my ship still has chemistry, I ain't got no problem. I'm going to miss Henry Cavill. I love him as that character. Obviously, he's fantastic. We go back to Henry Cavill once again. This is a very Henry Cavill and his previous roles heavy
apparently,
episode.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I am sad that it's going to end at season 5. I am surprised and also not surprised. I think I am surprised. I think I'm surprised at the announcement of like, of saying that season 5 will be the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I am surprised at it ending at season 5, mostly because of all of the backlash and all of the rumors that have been going on around about that show. I don't believe most of the rumors that go around about it, but that's because I try to avoid believing most rumors about shows in development unless there's like legitimate, like, not even word of mouth. Like, if there's like a legitimate source of this news, and most, like, I feel like most of the Witcher rumors are just like hearsay. So I'm like, I'm not going to believe everything you guys are spouting about what's going on behind the scenes of the show. If anything, Henry Cavill probably left just so he could go make his 40K TV show because he loves 40K that's more than anything else in this world.
Likely, yes.
But yeah, I'm excited to just enjoy the ride. I'm gonna ride it out to the end with these characters. I love them. So
yeah, I still need to finish season 3. I never finished it because they had that 2.
Oh yeah, you only got 2 episodes left.
Yeah, I'm probably start the season over, to be honest, because I don't remember anything. But that's cool.
Man, all I remember is what was it, episode 5, I think? That was my favorite. Oh, is that not the, like,
domestic one?
As it seems. Yeah, the one where they were at the ball and like we got to see all the different perspectives of how the night went over and over and over again. So good. Love that episode. And it had like all my shipper stuff in it. And I was like, yeah, this episode was made for me. Mm. And there's a bop in the episode. So
love that for you.
It's great. It's a fantastic episode. But yeah, The Witcher, ending with season 5. Let us know in the comments what you guys think about that. Are you guys going to miss the show? Are you guys even going to keep watching for season 4 now that Henry Cavill's no longer on the show? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I am. But yeah, that's it. That's the episode, because usually Dallas does our different opinions. He's the one who usually gathers them. But unfortunately, he was not feeling well today, so he had to back out of recording. Uh-huh. Thank you, audience, for joining us for another episode. It's me and Cassie. We was going to sprint through this.
Hell yeah.
Made that real easy. Made that real quick. Like, you guys aren't here for an hour and a half for once. It's going to be like 30 minutes and you're out. Man.
Look at that.
Don't you love it? It's great.
Right? We're not taking up like so much of your day.
Oh my goodness. When I edit this, oh my gosh, it's going to be amazing. So fast. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Cassie, for joining me for this review.
Yeah.
I'm very glad that the news was pretty you heavy, actually, because it gave you a lot of reason to talk. Yeah, it wasn't so much a me monologue as we thought it was going to be.
Look at that. Look at us.
Thank you for vibing with me and talking about Henry Cavill and all of his previous roles that he is no longer playing. But also about his new movie, which is fantastic. Thank you, Dallas and Gabby, for letting us know like an hour ahead of time that you guys weren't going to be here. Well, that's not fair. Dallas told us a few hours ahead of time. He woke up this morning and let us know. So thanks for that, guys. Hope you guys feel better.
Yeah.
I'm not going to thank me. Thank you, Crown Digital, Brandon and Io, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I put us on YouTube, so I'm not thanking myself. That's weird.
I mean, thank you to me for editing and putting us on YouTube, and also for doing this review with me. Because I know, like, you wouldn't have wanted to do it alone, so I got you.
That would be weird, because I'm going to be honest with you, audience. I'm not supposed to be here as often as I am, and yet I am, so.
You keep saying that. It's been years, babe.
It's been years. It's been the entire time that we've had this podcast. We're here now. All right, guys. What did you guys think of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare? Have you guys seen it? Who was your favorite character in the movie? I want to know. What do you guys think about My Adventures with Superman? Isn't it amazing? It is. If you don't think so, you should definitely tell me why, because I'm not going to agree with you, but I want to know. And are you guys excited for this Transformers prequel movie that we're about to get? It looks pretty dope in my opinion, but hey, I'm not a big Transformers fan, so I don't know what to anticipate. Maybe you guys do. Let us know in the comments, or you guys can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/creativedifferencespc. You guys can also find us on Twitter at @y'all_different. You guys can find us on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, or you can find us on TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. Yes, we are aware that these are so many different names to find us. It's not our fault. We could not get all the same names on every platform. They would not let us. Some of them have a character limit. Did you know that? Did you know there's a character limit?
I mean, there's a character limit for most things, but like, come on.
For a username, I mean, I guess for a username, you probably should have a character limit, but like, we couldn't fit Creative Differences on Twitter. Can you guys believe that? It's been like that for years, guys. 4 years. I don't know. Maybe we should try changing it. But I'm not going to do that today. Cassie, where can they find you?
Come talk to me. I mean, talk to me about Fallout, the show, the games. I want to know more about how you think. Do you think that this is going to be a very specific thing? But do you think that Hank is going to end up as Mr. House? I don't think so, but maybe. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SassySoothsayer.
Oh, where do we want to go with this? If you guys want to talk to me about Henry Cavill, or if you guys want to talk to me about how awesome Asa Gonzalez is, you guys can find me on Twitter at @Demi_Joie. Joie is spelled J-O-I-E. Thanks again for joining us. We are going to be taking a few weeks break because I have a lot of life things going on right now. So I am unavailable to record or edit anything. So we'll see you guys in a few weeks, and probably we'll come back with like a Boy Kills World review. Maybe we'll come back with some other things. Who knows? Yeah. Stay tuned to find out. It's been different. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Did you have a social media name for those two?
No, I tried to think of one for Dallas and I couldn't really think of one. And then once Gabby said she wasn't going to be there, I was just like, I can't think of two.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I also cannot think of one. But also, I don't have an idea for a tag. So this is what we got.
incredible. It's our tag. We didn't know what we were doing. Sorry.
Dallas is much better at this than we are.
Yeah.